This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
He's serious. Pro football focus. Got three games to work with.
No. I'm not going off last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. The eight games that he started the year before.
Prior to last year. Well, Cam Robinson didn't play the full year 2 years ago either.
Wow. 101 starts at left tackle.
Yeah. Sounds like y'all about to have fun today.
Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. I bet you, the people probably rolling with you, though.
They're going to go against
your boy, but wow, man.
I do love that from the 559, they just wanted you to hear this one more time. 380, just wanted you to know how big Trent Brown is. And yes, 713, Trent Brown, not Trent Williams. That is exactly
I was about to say, I had to look up the Trent Brown. I thought of him. Well, all right.
I love the energy. The vibes are right here on a Friday. Appreciate, fellas. This was a very fun D&M Auto Leasing Crosstalk. We're done for the day.
Have a good week.
We're actually done for the week.
I got to wait 10 minutes. Yeah. I look over there.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. You guys, you're not even going to look at him? That's crazy.
Well, I mean, this shows, right, Tyler? Luke's dead last in our our March Madness.
That ain't right.
Pool our company bracket here. Luke's dead last.
I'm in second, right on Lopez's heels.
Yeah, I mean,
don't remind him of that. He feels too good about it.
Did I mention I went 15-1 yesterday?
All right. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. I had to stop him from saying that.
What was your one?
Nope.
I knew ultimately some kind of Aggies would disappoint me. It was the Utah State Aggies.
I had them too, man. And they really disappointed because their ass is kicked.
If you can't tell, the drive is live.
Yeah, the drive.
Hey, boys.
Thank you. The drive is live. Clint's out today, but Luke is in here firing. I mean, he is out here hiding behind cars and just firing out shots.
It's what the drive does, baby. Barrel fire hot takes.
I like it, man. That one. I hadn't heard that one yet. I hadn't heard.
Well, he just signed like 30 minutes ago.
I had not heard.
I had to be first to the market.
Do you think he's better than Titus Howard?
Set the tone.
You think he's like, Luke, that you are thinking about it. you just went, like the Texans are in trouble if you are not definitive that Trent Brown is better than the Titus and Cam aren't better than Trent Brown. I mean, they're in trouble.
Yeah, it's more of an indictment. I just am down on Cam Robinson.
I get it, but I just presented Trent Brown against Titus Howard, and you have yet to say. You've just said
I'm just. I had to think about it first. Give me Titus Howard.
All right, man, we're going to have fun. All right, Luke's in the building. Wow, Luke's in the building. It'll be a good show today. A lot to get to. Shout out to everybody who is taking us in. If you are on YouTube and Twitch, hello, how are you? Good to see you in the building. If you are on getting a part of the show, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713 713- 572-4610. Yeah, I know it. Yeah, somebody else is too in here. We appreciate you joining the show as well. Tournament action, we will keep you updated or abreast, however you want to go about it, on what's happening today.
I appreciate that.
Alabama, who was just flirting with Bobby Moe today, Robert Morris, they finally pull away. They win 90-81. That's Final Four team for me. So that was a little dicey.
Uh-oh.
A little dicey for me there. Iowa State's beating the brakes off of Lipscomb. Boy, I had some party times with some people from Lipscomb. I'll just say that out in Nashville.
Really?
I'd
like to revisit that later on in the show.
Shout out to Trey, man. Me and you, we did some work out there, didn't we? Baylor.
Gotta explore that later.
Baylor, they get a 3-point W out there. So a lot getting on. Cooper Flagg, the potential star of the tournament, he gets started coming up here soon. So a lot to get to here, as we will keep you updated. Again, Luke Morrow is in, and he is dead last in our office pool. I think that is out of 60 people. He is dead last. I don't know if it's 60. I just found like a good number. It's station-wide, right? It's not just the sports.
It's us everybody. At 610. It's at the Bull Mix. It's the sales folks, everybody.
I would almost argue that's more impressive to be dead last than in first.
I only missed two yesterday, boys. Second place.
What would be your argument that's more impressive? What would be your argument?
Just because I was able to pull it off.
What were you going upset?
He did that.
Were you
thing.
Going upset heavy? You had to be.
So
you had to pick High Point. I did pick
High Point.
You may have grabbed Montana.
No, I wanted to. I didn't, thank goodness.
Well, hell, wow. I guess what stopped you there?
I know. Because I had, I think I have an upset in the very next matchup, the next matchup. So I didn't want to go both upsets next to each other. Yeah, I did. 2 years ago, look, I've always done terrible in brackets. I've never won a bracket despite the many pools I've been in for over 20 years. I'm terrible, despite watching tons of college basketball. But 2 years ago, I was in like the top 1% on ESPN because I just went straight chalk. And I should have followed that because the last 2 years I've picked a lot of upsets and we don't really get as many upsets as we used to. I don't know if we ever really got a lot of upsets, but yeah, I went with a handful of upsets and they haven't panned out so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a couple hit me in the face. Boy, that Drake one. I always think it's always going to be a few more. It's not as many upsets as many people think. Like, right. That's why I always think. And that second, the first part of the day, I was with Lopez. That second half of the day just really got away for me. Yeah.
It's early, though. As long as you keep your Elite Eight, Final Four teams.
I'll represent us well. I'm near the top.
Well, hey, I got Sweet 16 teams in. I've got all that in, so I'm still in good shape.
That's all that matters.
I just lost a few. And I'm in a good place, man.
You want to talk about what we need to talk about?
Oh, I'm so happy. Someone texted, hey, Ronnie, tell us about those sorry Jayhawks. It's over. Thank God.
Clint's Razorbacks.
Listen.
It couldn't have been easy.
It was like waiting on someone's death.
Damn.
It's just like, I'm just saying, you know how it's like.
You want them out of their misery.
Yeah, and you understand the responsibility that you're having to take on and it's stress and everything else, and you're just, just ready to...
Just end it.
And
that horse out back.
And they did what they do and somehow found themselves in a lead at the under four timeout and then promptly went turnover, 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 missed shot, turnover, turnover, three.
Yeah, not a good ending for Dickinson in that second half.
So you didn't have to say his name. That's the one.
Yeah.
In that second half, he did what?
He didn't score.
Yeah, he didn't score.
And he had those two turnovers and then missed the three. And even on another, they had tried to get that lob to him on the pick and roll and couldn't convert that late in the game. I thought Bill Self, I wish.
Coached his ass off.
Oh, for sure. But I wish he went to the zone even sooner because Arkansas had no idea. I'm so tired of Calipari. The guy doesn't know what he's doing either. And they were clueless against this. They should have played the whole game in zone. Arkansas would have scored 40 points.
Well, they scored 17 until the end.
Yeah.
Until that 15-5 run.
Kansas just couldn't do enough offense.
They're just not good.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound.
Rub it. Rub it. I'm good. I'm in it. This is over. I watched it this morning, the final 10 minutes of the game, and I deleted that season. Delete. It's over. Shout out, Matt Hardy. Delete. Yeah. It's over, and I'm happy about it. I feel so much better. I can watch this thing in peace.
It's true.
The one thing, Luke, that I would like to add to it is, many of you have sought out to try to be mean to me, and I get the understanding of what John Cena is talking about.
It's uncalled for.
It is. I sometimes feel like I am in an abusive relationship with some of you. Some of you who decided to seek me out, and I don't hurt you. I don't understand it. Like, I'm a nice face. You know, Cousin Show is there for you. And many of you get so excited about my pain. And that's okay, though. I can take. I just don't know why. I don't do that to you.
Ron's got some juice to him.
I try to stick my arms out and hug you. Unless you really corner me and put me in the corner like a badger and I have to scratch and claw my way out of that corner like Clint did that one day, and many of you. And that's the one time in 5 years that I had to claw out.
I'll never forget.
But outside of that, but many of you hunt me down.
What is it you say? You go low and I go lower.
I try not to go to the basement with you. I have been pushed one time.
The dungeon.
And I have gone to the basement, but it's all right. It's over. I'm glad. And I can enjoy this thing.
Yes.
U of H, beautiful yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Ass kicking. Enjoyed it.
Aggies.
A&M, happy for you.
Beautiful. Gig 'em, baby.
Well, good.
Go home, nerds.
And I feel like, and I have so many, like one guy texted me. He said, boy, it's been a real rough start to the year for you. Got your asses kicked in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And then Kansas losing. I'm thinking to myself, I bet this guy would pray to get his ass kicked in the Super Bowl.
Bundle a rooster do.
Shoot an AFC championship.
But I didn't say it back. But it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I love you too. But no, man. I hope today, and we still haven't seen it. I hope we start to see some damn madness today. I like the
not
the,
wild enough for you.
Well, I mean, I need to see a shot. A buzzer beater. I thought we might get one with Mississippi State. That's mm-hmm. the closest we've been. He just
that turned into being real uneventful.
Just airballed it. Airballed a three and whatever. But we haven't seen that. We haven't had the March Madness moment yet. Hopefully, we get some today.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the first round of March Madness has sort of jumped the shark in recent years. And I think when you look back, 2 years ago, we had five upsets in the first round. One was a 10-7, doesn't really count. Not a lot of, it was pretty chalky 2 years ago. Last year was the best year in over two decades for the betting public, who usually bet favorites. It became predictable last year in the first round, and bettors cleaned up. And then this year, I mean, we've had now, so far, if you include today as well, four games in single digits. It's been a lot of blowouts. And we haven't had a buzzer beater in 4 years. We were close with Furman 2 years ago, but that was with 3 seconds left.
Has it been that long?
But I will even take something like that. We haven't even had anything like when Van Gundy almost fell out of his
That was the one. Yeah, Furman
out of his seat.
Harlan had to hold him back.
There hasn't been anything close. Like, I mean, the closest game that I could think of is the Clemson McNeese game, and that wasn't that close. That was a layup that they let him. Let him go, but that was an ass-kicking throughout.
It was a 22-point game under eight left, and Clemson made a late run. But, you know, you might think, well, buzzer beaters, those aren't all that common. Sportsbooks still priced it at plus 100 this year. There'd be a buzzer beater, which tells you it's a 50-50 thing, and yet we haven't had one in 4 years. So it's almost becoming the men's tournament.
Has it been 4 years?
Yeah, 2021.
That's what Tyler just said.
It's becoming like the women's tournament where there's not a lot of upsets, and then it's all about the big matchups the later you go. And in the men's, we're not getting a lot of upsets. Favorites went 12-4 yesterday. But then you look at, now you get Patino and Cal, and you get if UConn wins tonight, you get the two-time defending champs against Florida in the next round. And you get these better matchups the later you go, which actually is better for the tournament. When you get to the Sweet 16, Elite 8,
you want a little bit of a craziness early, but mm-hmm. not all the name teams, the blue bloods. You want a little bit of crazy, but then at the end you want the Duke and
right.
Auburn
then
match.
You regret
with the
having yeah. Loyola Chicago or FAU in the Final Four. But I think the opening round of March Madness, which I love, I watched every game yesterday. I'll watch every game today. I think it's almost becoming like a St. Patrick's Day or a New Year's Day where it's becoming more about the title than what it actually is. It's great to call out of work, sit at home, watch games all day yesterday, but then you watch these games, they're all blowouts. It's not very entertaining.
Yeah, it had to get close. Hopefully, again, like you said, hopefully it's getting closer. Like, you know, some of the 1-16, 2-15 matchups right. are generally, for the most part, are going to be that. Like Duke's already up 13-2 on Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, that'll get
you up. Know what game I can't wait for is Florida. When those kids, the Norfolk State, talking about they were upset, they were 28.5-point underdogs. And y'all about to get out here and get ran. And go be upset. Hopefully they keep it under and say, see, lost by 27 today, baby. We ain't supposed to be underdogs like that. Listen, one thing I am hearing, and let your boy help you out. One thing I am hearing after day one is, and I heard Seth and Sean kind of talk about maybe they got screwed in the seeding here, is with the performance of Gonzaga yesterday and how they just blew away. I think that thing was 23-3 at one yeah. at some point early, how they blew away Georgia, and Georgia never had the game. I think it was 89-68, and it wasn't even that close of a game. And their next opponent is Houston. And I think a lot of people are wondering, oh, could this be an upset spot? Is this where the first number one seed goes down? Beware of Houston, and Houston has to play this Gonzaga team. You know, there's no concern. Ocho, I know you're probably going to hate me saying this, and you are going to be in complete concern that U of H is going to lose. U of H, I have no concerns or worries. Zero in this game. They are going to beat Gonzaga comfortably, and they will be just fine heading to the Sweet 16. I have no concerns whatsoever. U of H, they are going to suffocate Gonzaga. Gonzaga shot 12 for 20. This is not a typical good shooting Gonzaga team. Go see what them and St. Mary's did in the WCC championship game. I think they were a combined 1-for-35 from three. And yesterday, they were just sitting there getting wide open looks, 12-for-20. I mean, they are not going to be ready for the intensity of Houston's defense. Houston is going to take care of those boys. I have no concern. I will be shocked off my ass if we come in here Monday and Houston's been eliminated. They will not lose to this Gonzaga team. So Coug fans, no need to worry about this one. Maybe a little bit. Tennessee is somebody I get concerned about a little bit down the line later on if you ran into them in the regional final, but not Gonzaga. And I know many people have concerns after watching what Gonzaga did yesterday, but if you saw what Houston held them boys 8 minutes without scoring yesterday. I know Gonzaga's better, but their defense is for real, and they could score a lot better than they have in the past.
I do think Houston wins. I'm not nearly as confident as you are. Now, look, Gonzaga is inflated from that Georgia matchup because Georgia, they benefited from just being in the SEC. It's like being the crappy house in the beautiful neighborhood. That's Georgia and a lot of these other teams in the bottom half of the SEC that got to go to this tournament. But I think Gonzaga is a tough matchup. I think it might be the toughest matchup Houston gets until the Final Four.
Really?
Yeah, I like, and I usually hate Gonzaga, but if you look at the, you know, like Ken Pom has them as the number 7 team in the country. Yeah,
that's Ken Pom had Kansas is a top 10 defense too, and I watched them every week. I'll tell you that was a bunch of trash anyway. But I'm not saying you have to watch. I've watched Gonzaga. The intensity that this defense is going to, they are going to cuff them. Like they're that. Like the only way is if Houston just goes absolutely cold, and they score a lot better. The toughness, the physicality. Like, if you go just watch, like, watch what they do to BYU. What U of H does to BYU, a really good offensive team that has some size, mm-hmm. They just lock them up, and BYU cannot do anything the two times they've played them. They're going to lock up Gonzaga. Yep. I feel really good about that.
They might. We'll see. I mean, Gonzaga is a top 10 most experienced team in the country. They defend the three really well, which is obviously, you know, Houston's bread and butter on offense. They got some good size to them, more so than Houston. And the big thing is they play a lot faster tempo, Gonzaga, than Houston. So it could be one of those where, to your point, what you're saying, whichever team enforces their pace on the other will be better off. But I think it'll be a good game. I think Houston wins. But I do think it'll be one of these games you've been waiting for in this tournament. You know, that is that great matchup. No,
comfortable, baby. All right, coming up, the big story and big question coming out of West Palm Beach. We got to dig into that. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Clint's out. Luke is in the building. Tyler is here as well. If you're looking at us at YouTube and Twitch, you see our beautiful faces. Those of you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, you can join in and be a part of the show, 713-572-4610. We appreciate that news that Tyler just said in my ear on our way coming back in. Aaron Rodgers has left the Pittsburgh Steelers facility without a deal in place. All right.
We do not care.
Who needs the other one more?
Steelers.
You think the Steelers need him more?
It's that simple.
Assuming Rodgers wants to
go to the Giants, I guess.
If Rodgers can seriously consider retiring, then certainly the Steelers. If he is set on no matter what, I got to play this year.
It's Rodgers, right?
Then yeah, right, because that's a lot better option than the Giants.
Yeah. Interesting. I think everybody just assumed that gets done because, right, like I don't know what the other options are, but right. Yeah. I mean, not that I don't know what the other options are, but it seems like the Steelers are in the business of trying to win it now, right? It feels like,
should be,
you know, going to get DK Metcalf and things of that nature. So it would seem to make sense it'd be Rodgers over whatever else is out there, since they didn't get a, like, Sam Darnold or anything like that, would think. So, guess keep an eye on that, because that'd be obviously another AFC team that was in the playoffs, and depending on how you view it, would be an improvement over the quarterback that play they had last year. Although Aaron Rodgers, I would say more times last year, Russell Wilson may have been a better quarterback than Aaron last year and here of late. So that's the latest there with the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. Many people expect that to happen. All right. As the boys on In the Loop said, yes, the Astros, they are less than a week away from starting this season, starting a quest.
I'm so excited!
Of trying to win the AL West again and get to the postseason and get back to the ALCS. And the big story is the Altuve situation. And
I'd say so.
Yes, as yesterday, Tyler said he is in full freak. He's in full freakout mode.
Yep.
Which I think is a little aggressive. I mean, we haven't started the season, but
got a left fielder. Can't catch pop-ups, man.
He had two back-to-back days where he had plays that you would expect some of the kids at your travel team or your elite team to be able to make, but we'll see. I think freakout mode probably starts within the season. You know what I'm just really interested in? Who is the one that pushed this from the jump? Do we have any idea? Do you think
I kept it real as a true professional myself?
Okay, so you think it's Dana? I guess
it's Dana's show.
Like, but he's the one that pushed this because clearly, like, it was this. It wasn't just a Bregman thing. This was clearly now the plan. And I just wonder who is the main pusher that believes this is the thing that gives us the best chance to win. Because right now, I think there's a huge argument against it. But I just wondered,
that was a no-brainer for me.
Who felt like this is the best chance? I don't think it's Joe Espada. I don't think it's Jim Crane, is it? Like, it's got to be Dana, right? Is it Dana that is the pusher of this?
If not Dana, somebody else that got in his ear from the front office. I think it's a front office decision. I don't think it's Altuve that originated this idea. I don't think it's the owner, manager.
Where do you think Altuve
better not be Bagwell.
Where do you think Altuve wants to play?
Second base.
Yeah, if I was Altuve, I think I'd want to just stay at my position at second base.
I mean, because he's really gone in with this.
He's created a Hall of Fame career over at that position. That's got to be it.
Yeah, I give him props for doing it because, I mean, the easy comp is like Rafael Devers is the other big story of the offseason, a guy who doesn't want to change positions. You know, most guys wouldn't want to. And he's been all team first all the way and you know, all gung-ho about it. So I give Altuve props in that regard that he didn't seem to put up a fight or anything. I'm not as worried about him in left field. I think he'll be okay. Those dropped fly balls are embarrassing, but I think it's one of those where the surgery was successful, but the patient still died, where he did all the right things.
Oh, Jesus.
I think he just got a little distracted by the runner tagging up. But, you know, I thought he read the ball well. He had a good jump to the ball. He got behind it. He set himself up and then maybe just took his eyes off. So I think those are things that he'll improve with reps. He had a nice catch in the gap. Was that yesterday, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
So
Tyler?
I think he'll be fine out there, but to answer your question, I think it's a front office thing. Either someone like in the analytics department or maybe Dana himself, but you know, from that portion of the organization.
Do you agree with that? Do y'all agree with that, that this is the thing that gives them the best chance to win?
I think long-term, it gives them the opportunity to field the best starting lineup.
Yeah, that might be it. Because I don't fault them if that's what they sat down and said, all right, this right here, we're doing this and we're going for it because we look at this and we think Jose out there with how the other dominoes will fall gives us the best chance. I am not there yet. I'm not saying that they're dead wrong on it. I'm not convinced of that yet. I'm a bit surprised that that's where they arrived, especially with what is there. Like, because if Bregman was there, right, in my mind, now I can see, okay, all right, I can understand why you're saying to yourself, or Nolan Arenado or something like if there was somebody else there where you're like, where it's not Dubon that's playing second base, right? Mm-hmm. If there's somebody else that's there where you're like, hey, all right, I can see how this is a lineup that is, you know, a lineup that's, you know, kind of pushing up closer towards the Astros' heyday in this golden era of lineups where it's, you know, it's a guy back to back to back to back to back that'll kill you until you get to Reddick. I can understand that, but I don't get the sense of the feel of that right now, that it completely, clearly makes it better.
No, I don't think right now, although, you know, the alternative is what, like Ben Gamel out there or Yordan out there, which they don't want to do. So I think it's almost out of necessity at this point, or maybe a commitment to the bit after the whole Bregman and Arenado thing. And they're just like, we'll just keep them out there. But I think that's why I said long term, because I think once Cam Smith's ready, you just slot him into third and move Paredes over to second, who defensively has been a better defensive player at second than any other position in the infield. And then I think that's where you have your best at least 1-9 batting lineup. And if Altuve can figure out the outfield, maybe even better from a fielding perspective than where you were to start the year or last year. So that's why long term, I think it's the better play. Opening day, it may not be the best roster, the best 1-9.
We will certainly see. I'm disappointed in Tyler. I just took that. I mean, very, very quick shot at Josh Reddick, and he didn't even pick it up.
I thought I heard you say Reddick, and I was like, "Where is this gone?" Because I was editing back here,
and I took it. I'm sure. I hope Megan's listening. Hope that really pissed her and Linda off.
Woo!
Those big Josh Reddick fans. Yeah, we have to get into that Josh Reddick story.
Yeah, he didn't have to have his shirt off for my wife.
Yep.
Say what now?
We'll get to that at some point. All right.
Serious, Luke. Shirtless for my freaking wife.
Coming up. The next, and it's already started today, and I'll have to check and see what he's doing, but this could be a huge, huge change in one of the most popular, or hoping to be, again, one of the most popular sports in America. We'll discuss that coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. I do want to get to what potentially is could be a big, big moment in the sports world. But little Texans news. Those of you just rolling in, we talked about it at the crosstalk, and it got out. Shout out to DNM Leasing, sponsor for the crosstalk. But we talked about it in the crosstalk. I didn't know that conversation was coming. But Adam Schefter, the Texans overhaul of their offensive line continues as they add right tackle Trent Brown on a one-year deal worth $3 million. According to Aaron Wilson here, he started three games last season for the Bengals, and that was before he tore his patellar tendon. He was previously with the Raiders, with the Patriots, the 49ers. He's a nine-year vet, been around. He is added to – boy, they like these damn tackles, don't they? Right now, added to the tackle room, he now adds with him, Blake Fisher, second-round draft pick from last year, Titus Howard, highest-paid offensive lineman, I think third-highest-paid player on the team behind Hunter and Stingley, even though next year he will get more than Stingley.
Stingley.
And then they just signed Cam Robinson as well on a one-year deal worth up to $14.5 million, 12 guaranteed. So they've added a lot there, not as much outside of Laken Tomlinson on the inside. Just for you, Luke, because you're higher on Trent Brown than not just me, but really I think almost anyone in the country. not kidding. But no, I'm not kidding. Do you think this Trent Brown potentially is more than just depth? Like, do you get the sense of that?
No, I think the idea is for depth. Okay. That, I think over the course...
You don't think they're bringing him in. Like, right now, you don't get this to say, no, this is a battle for a starting position here.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think over the course of the season, or if given the opportunities, or maybe even in training camp, because I do think he is better than Cam Robinson in particular. Maybe he gets an opportunity. But I think the idea behind the signing right now is, bring him in as depth. And it is interesting, you have all these tackles. I mean, we're still waiting for the final pieces to this offensive line puzzle. But, to your point, you bring in a lot of guys on the exterior of that offensive line, on the edges, the bookends, and not as much in the interior, which I imagine they'll address in the draft. But I'm still curious to see how this offseason, and this offensive line puzzle plays out, because there is a bit of a mismatch there in terms of the number of pieces you have at each spot on that line.
Yeah.
It's an imbalance.
Oh, yeah. We'll dive into more of this, but that's the latest there. Trent Brown is added to it. Now in the offseason, they have traded away Laremy Tunsil. By the way, the last time we were here, we had that conversation. Yeah. Do you think both him and Titus Howard would be here? We both agreed that they wouldn't. Excuse me, a little help. We both agreed they wouldn't. Obviously, that did happen as Laremy Tunsil's been traded. But since then, Laremy Tunsil out, Shaq Mason out, Kenyon Green traded, and they've added Tomlinson. They've added Cam Robinson, Trent Brown, Ed Ingram they added as well. So they have made some changes. They've did some things. I don't know if they've made that real big sexy change where you're like, hell yeah. I mean, I think Cam would be the closest thing, and I know you have some, I think, fair questions about Cam Robinson. So they've done a lot. We'll see where that finished product is, because I still don't think it is. I still don't think that thing is finished. All right. The tournament is going on, and fellas, I think this could be a really big moment for the sport of basketball, and in particular, the NBA. I think they need Cooper Flagg in a major way right now. Ooh. To be a huge star of this tournament.
The young fella.
And the way that I get a chance to see this, did you know who Caitlin Clark was before 2 years ago? Like before that, like before the tournament, and I'm not talking about the one that she last played in. She really jumped on the scene that year where I think she was guarding the girl from Louisville and threw her hand at her, and she was just putting up crazy numbers. And then that Iowa team that really had no business beating the undefeated South Carolina team in the Final Four, she went off and they won. And then the whole thing with her and Angel Reese and LSU started, and that became the thing that made her a star and has completely changed women's basketball. But is there and I'm legit throwing this out to you, and maybe I'm just off my ass, but is there a chance that Cooper Flagg could have that type of impact? Not quite on the level of, but anywhere close, that he could become a star in this tournament that propels him to being a star and having a following at the next level. Like, that's my thought, is if for the NBA, if Cooper Flagg had just a huge, and by the way, he's already up and going, 11 minutes, 9 points, and 4 rebounds to start against the 16 seed as they lead 44-22. But I really feel like that could be huge for the NBA in particular if Cooper Flagg goes off and becomes the story of the tournament.
I'm with you. I think there's a chance for the Caitlin Clark thing. I don't know if that will happen. I think it might be more comparable to like Zion Williamson at Duke a couple years ago and went into the NBA, and everyone was, I mean, Zion, I think, had more buzz going into the tournament.
Yeah, he had more buzz. But this could be bigger, though. Like, I feel like the state of the NBA was at least perception-wise in a healthier place that year when Zion became a thing.
I would agree.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a huge NBA fan. At least the conversation around the sport and some of the things, obviously the numbers and the ratings have had a dip. I do think the Luka to LA thing with LeBron and that stuff has created some more interest. But if Cooper Flagg becomes the story of the next 2 weeks, and you think like what that would mean for him, like Coop, like that, and him, and the following that could push, this could be huge for basketball.
For sure. Maybe the better comparison is like Carmelo, who as a freshman led Syracuse. And it's funny because in the NBA, he was a great scorer. He was a good player, no doubt. I liked Carmelo, but obviously never won much in the NBA. But I think that victory at Syracuse and doing that at March Madness always propelled and carried him. And he was such a big star and a big name for the really entirety of his career. But I think it's a rite of passage for all these NBA stars. And you go back, I mean, Ja Morant really elevated his platform in that tournament with Murray State. Steph Curry, of course, with Davidson. And then he went back another year and did it again. But a lot of these guys, you go back, you can even make the case Jordan when he hit that jumper, you know? And Bird and Magic when they played each other. Like, that seems to be the rite of passage for the NBA star. Obviously, LeBron, Kobe, they didn't have those opportunities. But it usually starts with a great run in March Madness where a lot more people are watching you than during the regular season. And these guys are able to do that because they're really good, you know, for a reason. And then that carries them to the NBA. They become a household name, and you know them going into that league. And so you hope, if you're the NBA, you hope for a nice long run from Duke, and Cooper Flagg plays well and stays healthy. And then that carries you to his NBA career. Do you put any stock in these rumors that he's going to come back to Duke for another year?
No chance.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, especially after he hurt his ankle like he did. No chance. That is the part, though, that I wonder about is, can he become, because Caitlin Clark, to a certain segment, she became the best thing. She became polarizing. But to a certain segment, she became very, I would even think more than polarizing, really uplifting. And people loved Caitlin. Mm-hmm. People rooted hard Caitlin, loved Caitlin. Can Cooper pull that off playing for Duke?
I was going to say.
Can he pull... Like, is Duke hated too much to a point where you can fall in love with Cooper Flagg?
It's a good question. I mean, how many players from Duke in the NBA were, like, fan favorites? Grant Hill might be the only one.
The black guy, oddly enough.
Yeah. Like, Kyrie, I don't think is very well, and he hardly played at Duke, but, you know, Shane Battier.
Shane was liked.
Was he?
Yeah,
I feel like he became a little bit of a pest over the course of his career.
It was a pest, but they like it. Shane, the president. Shane was like J.J. Redick, obviously,
JJ,
was not.
Oh, man. Leitner way back. Well, all these guys.
Hurley, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I think there's two things working against Cooper Flagg that Caitlin Clark, in that comparison to Caitlin Clark. One is the Duke thing. I think most people can't get over that. And then number two, I think the big thing for Caitlin Clark was that rivalry, or was that heat that she had in the tournament with Angel Reese. I think that really helps,
too.
Does
he have a foil?
Yeah, I think he needs somebody for him to go up against to really help elevate that stock. And I don't know if we're going to get that in this tournament or even as he enters the NBA. So I think that lack of that and then the fact that he is a Dukie is going to hurt
him as
well.
Sexline said Zion was likable. I agree with that.
That's true.
I think Zion was likable. Yeah. Yeah, I think he was.
And I also wonder, because it's kind of changed with the Patriots once Belichick left. Now that Coach K is, did you dislike Duke or did you dislike Coach K? Is Duke becoming more likable in general now that Coach K is gone?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's just the Coach K thing. And even if it is, Coach K is Duke. Like, I mean, it was 40 years.
Yeah.
I don't think that comes off. Like, there are so many people that can remember their hatred for Duke and Coach K. Someone texted in, Caitlin Clark is loved because how she plays, Cooper isn't that. But I don't think you knew that until you started really honing in and watching her during that tournament run. Right. Like, I think if you go watch Cooper Flagg, Cooper Flagg, I think, has the game in your... Like, let's just be honest. Caitlin Clark played the game at a level, not just like guys do, but she played a level with swag like a lot of, like, NBA player-type guys do. And I think if you watch Cooper, he doesn't play like J.J. Redick, if we're naming some of those. Like, he doesn't play like John Shire, his coach. He plays the game fun, above the rim. Like, he can do a lot of things. So I think his game actually is a game that is kind of more sexy than it is like, oh, he's just coming off and shooting.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think so. I think his game can be that space. But, yeah, if he could, if there was a... Like, if there's somebody out there that can make you hate more than Duke, like, I still think the thing he runs into is, I think the most of the public is going to root against his team to lose in a way that didn't happen for Caitlin. And
for sure.
I do think that is a part that jumps up. We'll give you a tournament update coming up. And I just got I got simple questions about the Texans. Simple questions about the Texans that I think we should answer and discuss coming up next.